Dude, I'm like stuck on these Voodoo Rangers, man.
Me
do you
too.
Drink
I have
these?
The Voodoo Ranger as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. What are you drinking? The white one? Yeah, dude. No, the white one's good. The yellow one's good. I did like a trial run a couple times with like the Voodoo packs.
Yeah.
And I think they're all pretty good. I'm just happy that you're an IPA guy, like, because a lot of people are not. Can I ask you, listen, this will come out. I don't know when it's going to come out, but it's Super Bowl weekend. Do you give a shit about Super Bowl at all?
I do. I mean, I like watching the Super Bowl. I like watching commercials. I like the whole thing about
it. It's a vibe, dude. Yeah. I was in the grocery store the other day, and of course, like, they're like, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, like, buy right now, all the foods. And so I asked my son, because it was just me and him. I was like, you know, are you excited for the Super Bowl? And he was like, what is that? I was like, oh yeah, I'm not doing a good job as a dad. I was like, it's a football game. It's like the end of the year. It's like the last two teams. And he goes, I don't want to go to that. And I was like, okay, it's not going.
Yeah. Okay? You don't like, have to go anywhere.
It's at home. We're going to snack. We're going to drink. Yeah. Not him. We're going to snack. We're going to have a good time. He doesn't understand.
Like the thing is like when you go to a Super Bowl, it's not just the game. It's also the people, the wings,
it's the event.
The tater tots, the drinks, the snacks, you know, it's a whole, you put a whole charcuterie of deliciousness out on the table and people are just having a good time.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to do a whole Super Bowl thing right at the start. No. Okay. But like, are you excited about Usher?
I'm excited about Usher. I think it's going to be a good show.
He's got hits, dude. Like, yeah, they had to extend his Vegas run. You know what I mean? Because people were so excited about it. Like Usher is like a celebrity. You know?
I want to see him do his moves. You know what I mean? Like,
bro, he can do it all. He can sing. He can dance. You know, it's going to be like a pretty good performance. I loved Rihanna last year. So I'm let's see.
We've had some back to back good Super Bowl
bangers, dude.
Yeah. I remember what was before that. We had
Bruno Mars has done it a couple times because he came out with Beyonce that one year, which Beyonce. Oh, you guys had the LA one a couple of years ago.
Yes. Yeah.
Dude.
With Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, yes. Eminem. Like, that was a good one.
That was a dope ass show.
That was a great one.
I like
The Weeknd
that.
Was also one that was like, it was okay. You know, it was visually cool.
Visually yeah. really cool. Yeah. And during COVID, which was kind of wild.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean? Like,
okay.
They
yeah.
like did that.
They integrated the mask creatively or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we should do a whole, I should have had it prepared. We're riffing now, but I should have had like a whole like Super Bowl halftime thing.
By the time everybody listens to it, everybody will know.
Oh, it'll be done. Yeah.
I think we'll talk about like best Super Bowl commercials and, also, did you know we're not legally allowed to say like the Super Bowl? Like that's why everybody says the big game. It's
like a
trademark. But we're tiny enough, so we're gonna put it everywhere.
Listen,
you know
we
mean?
Didn't we didn't mean listen.
Come at us. You know what I mean?
We meant no harm. It's just two dudes, okay?
Yeah, it's just two dudes having a good time.
The big game.
I'm gonna watch and then okay. Listen, hold on. Welcome back to Punch Drunk Nerd, the podcast where two friends. Talking nerd shit. It's me, Luis Gonzalez, and with me is
Miguel Sanchez.
Okay. I didn't expect our podcast to just start like that, but
yeah,
you know,
we just kind of got into it.
And the Super Bowl. Have you noticed that all these Super Bowl commercials are also like coming out before the Super Bowl?
It happens every year. And the fact that you said something this year, I kind of took like a Luis stance and I said, I'm going to avoid it. You know what I mean? I've seen a couple come across the feed, but I as soon as they come across, I'm like, swipe. Like, I'm just like, let me enjoy it day of.
Yeah.
Let me at least pretend that it's new and exciting in the moment.
Yeah. I think it's a good moment when everybody tunes in to this one commercial like, wait, did that just happen? Or this good moment. Deadpool, they're teasing the Super Bowl commercial right now, but they're not showing a trailer. They just show like kind of clips and lots of text. And I'm happy for them. I'm glad they're doing that. They're not releasing a trailer before the game.
I will say we talked in our draft earlier a couple of weeks ago. You were like Deadpool. That was like your number one excited movie or whatever. And I was kind of sitting there going like, you know what? I wasn't. I don't know why you're thumbs downing me. Okay. I was like, you know what? I'm kind of like not. I wasn't as excited about that movie, but the way that you were so gung ho for it, I was like, you know what? Yeah, this could be a really fun Marvel picture.
Yeah.
And so like, I'll take the trailer. You know what I mean? Like, I hope it's fun.
I mean, from the small clips that we got, like literally 2 seconds, I'm here for it already. You know what I mean?
Oh,
you got my ticket.
Right, yeah. No, I'm like blindfold. You know what I mean? I'll watch it when it comes out. And I'm just like, everyone, shut up.
Yeah, that's the thing about Super Bowl like parties is that people are going to be talking up a storm in a corner. We're like, you have people who really want to watch the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a mixed crowd. Sometimes there's good and bad things about going to certain Super Bowl parties because, you know.
Can I listen? We'll wrap up the big game talk real quick. But yeah. Like, what's like if you're going to a party or you're hosting a party or whatever, like what's like the snack you're looking forward to?
I mean, I don't know. Classic wings. You know what I mean? Classic wings. Yeah. And yeah, just wings and beer. Like,
come on.
Keep it simple. Say I love less. It. Yeah.
Dude, I love a slider because a slider is so good. Versatile. You know what I mean? You could do so. It's a burger. It's a buffalo chicken. It's a garlic parm something or another. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a slider.
Sliders, you know?
Come on, dude.
Yeah.
We love a slow cooker in our house. So yeah, that's kind of where
I remember one year I went to Buffalo Wild Wings, just ordered a shit ton of wings. Mm. You know what I mean?
Bro, I have a coworker who said he used to work at a restaurant and he would just take, because wings are so cheap. Yeah. At the end of the shift for like a big game like this, he would just take like a bag of them and it would cost him like 50 cents to purchase the whole bag. And it would be like 100, 200 wings.
Wait,
and
what?
Dude. Because wings have a markup like crazy, dude. Like wings are stupid cheap. Maybe not during that like wing shortage a couple of years back, but apparently they're super cheap. And he would just be like, yeah, you know, like at the end of my shift, I would buy a bag and I would go home and it would feed forever.
That's why they have those like Tuesday wing Tuesdays for like 2 cents. They're like
take them.
Super
Wow,
Bowl.
That was fun.
Tune in to next week when we talk more about those commercials. Maybe we'll rank them. Who knows, Ed?
Yeah,
Ed is not here. We haven't talked about that.
Ed's gone.
Ed got canceled.
He died. Yeah,
He said a bad word, so he can no longer be on the podcast.
But it was a British word, so we weren't. We didn't clock it right away.
No. he'll be back next week. He's in New York land right now. And this week we got a lot of news. We also have a feature discussion. We're going to talk about True Detective episodes 1, 2, maybe 3. Who knows? We're behind here, but we wanted to talk about this show, and then we're going to wrap it up like we do with what we're into.
Oh yeah.
News. All right. Listen, everybody. I work at IGN, okay?
Let's go.
I don't know if you know this. I work at IGN, and big news happened. Everyone was breaking the news, even Variety. This was pretty cool. IGN is forming a union. We are coming together to make our voice heard. So on Tuesday, we showed up in our union shirts with our union buttons. And, right now we're just waiting for the process to happen. But it's very exciting and a lot of support with inside the workers themselves, you know, so which is nice to have.
Yeah. And we support you guys. We're super, super happy for you guys to take a stand. It was kind of like, oh, all right, let's go. I was immediately changing my profile photo. I was hashtagging in all the tweets. Yes. Dude, we're trying to like bring you guys to the table. So yeah, we support you guys.
Yeah. So, as it more develops and when I have more to say, I'll talk about it more. Let's go union proud, union here, whatever the saying goes.
Okay. No, we support. We're excited for you, dude. Okay.
Thank you. Okay, let's move on to some big news here. That was big, but I've got bigger news. Jurassic news. Jurassic
monster dinosaur
monster
worthy.
Dinosaur. Yeah, Jurassic World. When you thought it was dead, they're back again.
Fuck.
No longer extinct. The Jurassic World is back with its new installation. They're going to have a new, fresh storyline. So on February 5th, they announced that David Leitch was going to direct. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. David, let me know if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
DL.
David Leitch, DL, was going to direct it on February 5th. People were talking about it. And then by February 9th, he dropped out of it. So that didn't last very long. this is the guy who directed Bullet Train, John Wick, Deadpool 2. He's directing the new Fallout guy, which is also Universal. So Universal was like, hey, your movie's looking pretty
good.
Hey,
you're in the... Yeah.
So let's keep it in the family. Do you want to direct this one?
Yeah.
But one interesting tidbit about this is that, yes, it's a fresh storyline, but two, David Koepp, who is the original writer for Jurassic Park and The Lost World, is coming back to write this. So as much as I don't want another Jurassic movie because of...
There's potential.
Listen, am I excited? No. Will I wait to see? Yes. Like if it's... I'm just going to wait. You know what I mean? I'm not...
I would love it if they got away from the Jurassic World title. Like, yes. I can't believe we're going this many movies deep now, but it's like, Listen, I don't know how you feel, how the world feels. I generally didn't care for the Jurassic World trilogy. The first one I thought was okay, but the other two were pretty bad. So I would like a refresh. If the refresh is going to be refreshed, let's get a new title, get a new cast.
What would you call the new Jurassic?
I saw someone on Twitter call it like Jurassic Empire or something like that. Like, I don't give a fuck, to be honest. Like,
every because it should be every trilogy has like Jurassic Park, Jurassic World, Jurassic Empire.
Make it new, whatever. That's fine with me. And the way that I felt about Jurassic World, you know what I mean? Like, I gave it a shot. I'm kind of going to feel in this moment. I liked Jurassic Park. Obviously, love Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
I really liked Jurassic Park Lost World. I'm going to talk about Jurassic Park 3 because that's
crazy.
This news came out, so I went ahead and just watched Jurassic Park 3 because people were like, I don't think that movie's as bad as people made it out to be. And I was like, okay, I need to rewatch it to kind of like get a more whatever centered opinion. I don't know, dude. I want it to do well. I would love it to do well.
It's just, I don't know. Yeah, it's just, you get a, it's a, gives you, leaves you with a bad taste. And the thing is, this, the Jurassic World franchise, those three made a shit ton of money.
They fucked.
Like billions and billions. So, I mean, I would say, I mean, almost, I think they, I don't know, like worldwide, maybe near 3 billion. Like, it's just like, when that happens, you're like, well, we got to make another one, obviously. But this one is slated to come out July 2nd. 2025
next year. I mean, that's like insane. Pretty quick, dude. That's for an announcement to release date.
Do you have an idea of what the story is? Do we even know what's going on? Like, this takes time to do.
I gotta say, I want to take away some things from the Jurassic franchise. These are some things I would like to not see in a new refresh. Okay.
I
don't want to see people and dinosaurs being friends. Number one.
Okay. We never wanted that.
Did not want that. I appreciate what they were trying to do with that. Yeah. And I think it worked in that very first movie. Okay. Yeah. But the way that by the third movie, everyone was putting their hand up in front of a dinosaur, like, stop.
Yes.
Okay. Stop. I don't want to train or tame these animals. Like,
they're wild animals.
That's the whole wild thing. Exactly. Yeah. And it should be terrifying when you are in the space with them. Like, you do not want to be there. Also, listen, I think this is something that we've seen in Jurassic Park, the trilogy, and the Jurassic World trilogy. Let's get away from the kids. You know what I mean? I don't think we need a child in every movie.
You don't like child actors anyway.
Well, it's very hit or miss. I'm not trying to shit on all of them. Like, sometimes they're going to put out a good performance. It's very difficult. I was thinking about it when I was watching Jurassic Park 3 earlier this week. When I was a kid and I saw a kid in those movies, like they treated those children like they were a part of the cast. And so as a child, I did kind of like enjoy seeing that like representation. It matters. You know what I mean?
yeah.
But like as an adult, I'm like, I don't know, man. Like kids just kind of get in the way. Like, what if we just don't even have that element?
Yeah.
I don't remember what that, I feel like I was going to say a third thing, but yeah, those are kind of the two things. Like, I definitely don't want animal BFFs. Let's get the kids out of it. Let's make it scary. Also, that's really the thing, is I want it to be terrifying to be in a room with a dinosaur. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We'll see.
Also, like, I haven't seen the third one, but I heard the craziness that happened with like gene splicing. And then there was like a dinosaur human or something like that. Like, is that what happened? Like, that's.
In the second one, they introduced like a clone child, and that was like,
that was like part dinosaur or something.
I think the part dinosaur came in the third one, but that was, they were, that's where they were like leaving the breadcrumbs to it.
Okay.
And no, those last two movies were garbage, absolute dog shit of movies. And I mean, a couple of things here and there, but I've said this before, but we went and saw, my wife and I saw the second Jurassic World movie in theaters, because we saw the first one in theaters like five times. It was insane how many times we saw it. We saw the second one, and as soon as the credits rolled, I turned to her and I said, I don't ever want to watch one of these movies in the theater again. Like, this was a waste of time and money. This was really bad. And the third one, when I finally sat down and watched it, was absolute garbage. So, let's try something new. Sure.
Jurassic Fourth, the new one, coming out July 2nd, 2025. This one's really quick. We're going to talk a lot about sequels and upcoming things. Another thing that's coming up, it's in the news, Beetlejuice 2 finally got a title. And I'm going to keep this very quick because with this new title reveal, makes it certain that there's going to be a third one, because
sure.
The title of this, of the second one, is called, can you, do you know what the title of the second one is?
Like Beetlejuice Two Thirds.
No. It's Beetlejuice Beetlejuice. Okay.
Fuck. All right.
So when you say that.
Yeah.
Then you,
you
know,
automatically.
Yeah.
You want to say a third.
The third time. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when they did Beetlejuice Beetlejuice, like, okay, I get it. There's got to be Beetlejuice Beetlejuice Beetlejuice, sure, the third time, because you say the third time. That's all I wanted to say, that there's probably going to be a third one.
Listen, I think, like, in the lore of it all or whatever, like, that makes sense. I don't have any hate for it. I'm not a Beetlejuice, like, I didn't grow up on it. So if it's your franchise, the way Ghostbusters wasn't my franchise, you know what I mean? If it's your thing, like, absolutely enjoy it. I'm not shitting.
I think the design of Beetlejuice, like, not just him, but of the monsters and the whole situation is cool. You know, I think you go in there, you see the little tiny head on the big man, you see this like snake worm from almost like Dune-esque. You have like this weird creatures. I think it's a spooky, kooky, fun time. And, you know, it's a good, fun cast. So I don't know. We'll see how this goes. Okay. Another more sequels are coming up. Avatar, baby.
I want to talk about this, dude. Okay. I just watched Avatar 2 again recently.
Did you really?
Like, I love this franchise. You guys
woke,
like,
up, I'm, watched Avatar, and then went to bed, basically, is your day.
Two back to back. Let's go. Took the whole day.
Avatar. So we've been talking about the 3, 4, 5 are in development. But James Cameron, he says, hey, you know what? I think I got a story for 6 and 7. This is a franchise that is like just going to explode. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's exploding. It came out in the early, like, what, 2012 or something like that?
2009 was the
2009,
first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was dormant for a super long time. And now it's just exploding with all of these, like, potential sequels and worlds. And
here's how you knew it was going to be a big one, because it came out, you said the word dormant. That's so good. It came out in 2009, and then it was quiet for the longest time. But in that time between 2009 and the sequel that came out a year or two ago, Disney built a whole park around it. You know what I mean? Like, it, that signaled to me, I was like, okay, we are absolutely getting more Avatars, because, like, no way you would turn a whole portion of your park into Avatar world off of one kind of so-so movie. Listen, let's be honest, that first one was a little so-so.
Oof. Yeah, I didn't like it, you know, and the second one I liked more than the first.
Absolutely brought me in, and I was like, I'm here for 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th.
So this is what he says. We're fully written through the Jimmy Cameron. He says, we're fully written through movie 5, and I've got ideas for 6 and 7, although I'll probably be handing the baton on at that point. I mean, mortality catches up, but I mean, we're enjoying what we're doing. We're loving it. We get to work with great people.
I mean, first off, James Cameron makes movies. We don't have to list them all, okay?
Yeah.
But he makes good movies. Whether you like them or not, I mean, like, they structurally, these are solid films.
Yeah.
So if he wants to be on board creatively for the first 5 movies, let him. You know what I mean? I love the fact that he's, like, conscious enough to be like, I'm not going to be able to do them forever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, Clint Eastwood's making his last movie, and he's, like, 96 years old. You know what I mean? James is like, look, I got to enjoy a little bit of life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I just think it's crazy that he's, like, throwing himself fully into these Avatars. You know, like, he's not making new content, new other kind of movies, but he's like, well, hey, if a good thing works, I'm going to stick with it, and I'm here for it. So,
but he's capable at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, this is a franchise that if he does want this to be, like, my last one,
this is, like, his Star Wars.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, yes,
People are going to build off of this. There'll be Disney Plus Avatar shows. There'll be, like, you know, the whole Avatar world will explode the same way Star Wars did. And we're going to talk more about that a little bit later.
Yeah, in a second. Yeah, I want to talk about that too.
but just to remind you that we're all standing here, Avatar 3rd movie is expected to hit theaters in 2025, then Avatar 4 2029, then Avatar 5 in 2031.
Bro.
So
that is insane, okay? And it's one of those things, like, if Avatar 2 hadn't come out like 12 years later, then this time span would have sounded ridiculous. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it's like, okay, at this point, I'm going to invest in this shit. Okay. My son is going to be graduating high school, and I'm going to be like, let's go see Avatar 5 afterwards. Dude, I'm ready.
Yeah, so, you know, Avatar, you know, and it's giving time for, I think, the VFX department to really build it out when you have, like...
And we need that.
In the past, when you had Marvel pumping out 4 movies and 3 shows, and it's like whipping the VFX into shape, and he's like, I'm giving you years to work on this.
I just rewatched, like I said, I just rewatched Avatar 2. Now, we saw that in theaters, and I had some complaints about the CGI, because I think it was the format we were saying, yada yada. But I recently rewatched it at home, and there was definitely a couple of moments where I was like, oh, a little CGI action that's not looking as... It looked clean a couple of years ago, but yeah, now I'm like, oh, I kind of spot it. Like,
it's tough, because there are moments when you have like little people walking, and it looks like they were just like cut into the place. You know what I mean?
The humans coming in is a problem. Yeah.
Like, when you see, what's that kid's name? Dusty? Rusty? What's the little
Spider.
Boy? Spider, yeah. Yeah. The spider's walking around and they're like super tall, and he's like, oh yeah, you kind of stick out just a little bit.
Yeah.
But there's like close-up shots of, like, you know, the hand and water wrapping it around like a cord. Like, that looks really good,
man.
You know,
when they get to the islands, I was like, this is fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm like, okay, if you want to do like a whole like tribal Avatar thing for the first couple of movies, I'm here for it. Like, I'm like eating up the lore. It's embarrassing how much I fucking love these movies, dude.
Let's tune in when we start our own spinoff, Punch Drunk Avatar.
We'll
talk about Avatar every day. So we're talking sequels. We're also talking Disney properties. Avatar is a Disney property now. Another Disney property is Moana. Moana 2 is slated to come out November 27th. Like, it's this year. No one even knew it was coming, and then they surprised us all with it. In my family over here, we love Moana.
Okay.
It's a good time. We, you know, when we're cleaning up the house, we'll play the Moana soundtrack. And it's the same creative team, except this time, no Lin-Manuel Miranda. Which I will say, those songs he has on Moana are pretty bangers. So I don't know what I'm going to expect to see in the second one.
Yeah, it is kind of tough because some people don't love Lin-Manuel, but...
It
is kind of
like a thing that people started, like, first they loved him, and then they were like, we hate him. You know?
I get it. Yeah. But it's also like, if he's not coming back, like, could you imagine, like, think about all those like direct to VHS Disney sequels from the 90s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where they would try to like, oh, here's kind of like a Robin Williams-esque genie.
Yes. For Return
like,
to
imagine
Far.
Like, but for his music, that's kind of tough to replicate, like, genuinely. So we'll kind of see how that goes.
There's like a jovial pop to the way he comes about. And I feel like that's like a character in itself.
Within Moana.
You know, I mean, listen,
I get it.
I know. And Ed hates him too, right? Is that what happened? You two hate him?
We're going to say, yeah, because he's not here.
Okay. Well, Ed hates him. I like him. You know, and so we're going to see. They obviously brought a new team. Maybe Disney hates him now, so they're bringing in a new
team. Here's what's crazy is The Rock just came out last year, and it was like, we're going to do, after his Black Adam performance, he was like, we're going to do a live action Moana. I'm playing Maui, and Lin-Manuel's coming back. So it's like, oh, okay, he's still a part of like the Moana family.
Yeah.
So maybe his time is kind of split right now. He can't do the second one. So
what a crazy thing. We're going to have a live action Moana and Moana 2.
Bro, this is not going to go well. You know what I mean? I don't.
The live one, action one.
Yeah.
No, Moana's. I enjoy it. It's good music. Makes you always want to visit like Hawaii, stuff like that. Go to the beach. Never eat.
But not anymore.
Another news about Disney here is Disney. Miguel, you've been playing Fortnite a lot, right?
Baby, I'm ready to talk. Okay. Let's go. Okay.
Well, Disney also loves Fortnite. They just bought $1.5 billion stake into Fortnite. $1 billion. They want to, I don't know, Disney's been trying to make video games for a while, and all their attempts at doing it, except for what's it called, Kingdom of Hearts, which I haven't played, which is huge, but they've been trying to create like these little like pockets of world and world building that haven't really been successful. So they've already had partnerships with Fortnite. They put a lot of their Marvel characters in there. They put a lot of their just different characters already in Fortnite. So this was kind of like a perfect, marriage for them. They're going to combine Star Wars, Marvel, Avatar, we just talked about, Pixar. You see Buzz Lightyear shooting down some people. and then Disney. But I mean, even Fortnite itself has expanded away from just being a shoot 'em up Battle Royale game. Now they got the car. They bought the, what's it called? Rocket League.
Rocket League. Yep.
They also have Lego. They have Lego Fortnite. They also bought like what was it? Rock Band. Now they have their own like Fortnite Festival. They also have their own version of like Mario Kart, but it's for like using Rocket League cars. So they have like their own little racer game. So this whole franchise is expanding with that Disney's coming in where you can play, watch, create, shop. That's like their little tagline.
Oh man, that last one is what gets me, because like I'm really trying not to spend any money on Fortnite.
Yeah.
But I'm like, fuck. Like I really like the Ninja Turtles.
Have you bought the Battle Pass yet?
Baby. I had to Google it because I was like, when is the battle pass for this season end? Because I'm like, yeah, I don't want to pay. You know what I mean? I'm like, maybe I'll hold for the next one.
It's March, right? End of March or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's coming up. But they're it's doing not like a whole.
It's 2 months.
Okay. Well, that to me is right around the corner. But they're doing the whole like Ninja Turtle thing right now. And I'm fuck. Like, I kind of want these Ninja Turtles. But I just really, really, because every time I think, oh, okay, it's like, how many V-Bucks do I need to buy? And then I look at it, and it's like $35.
$30,
yeah. Bro, dude, like...
But I will say...
$30 twice, that's a full game you're paying for. And then if you have to think about it, if I have to pay another $30 after that for whatever I'm buying...
Well, hold on, the Battle Pass is $10 or whatever.
No, I know, no. So maybe that's what I really should focus on. Like, let me just get the Battle Pass. But no, I'm kind of addicted right now. It's a little bit of a problem.
I did play around before I started playing here, and I noticed all the new like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle stuff. They have like these hoverboards that I jumped on. I started speeding up, shotgunning somebody in the face, and speed it up right past. And then they have this tunnel thing where you can dive into tunnels and travel out. So they used to do that earlier, but it was like these porta potties. You would enter a porta potty, and you would transfer over to another part of the island. They basically took that mechanic and moved it
into the sewers,
which is cool.
Yeah. Hey, if you had to do the Ninja Turtle pack, like you could buy all of them, or you could buy one of them individually.
Yeah.
Like what turtle do you want to be?
I would get Michelangelo. I mean, that's the one I would get. I mean, I haven't seen the emotes that are attached to them, but also I saw that because there's emotes in Back Bling. I mean, I'm sure attached to each one.
I get it.
You know, but I think I have enough V-Bucks that I can possibly not spend $30 and get them all.
That's good. Hey, gift me some. You know what I mean? Hey, you guys, gift me down at Miguel M. Sanchez.
Is that your Venmo? Give Miguel. let Miguel Venmo. Buy some Ninja Please. Turtles. Yeah.
Buy me some Fortnite. We'll add the QR code right here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, sure. Okay. I knew a kid who was like, Mom, I thought you were going to get me a laptop. And he's like, you spent $500 on Fortnite.
I will not I'm be not good. That.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Like, what? I didn't realize. Like, yeah, you really don't realize how much you're spending on that game.
No, and that's the problem, is like, I just really, like, on a personal, like,
I know,
moral level, like, I do not want to spend money on this game.
The thing is like, you spend $10-$15 to see a 2-hour movie, and you spent hours on this game. And so it's like,
stop. Okay, don't give convince a couple me. Bucks, okay, right? Don't convince me. Don't
At least
this.
A battle I'll pass.
I'll
Get
do
Peter
it.
Peter Griffin. Get Peter Griffin.
I'm sure, I can't tell you how many times I've been killed by Peter Griffin.
What level are you at right now?
Like 41 or 2.
Okay. So you're only like 20 levels away from reaching Peter Griffin. Why don't you get to level 70 and then just buy the battle pass and just pop.
Now you're fucking talking, okay?
You know what I mean?
Yo, dude. Yeah. I'll on Instagram or whatever, I'll blast my username, okay? So everyone can link up with me, okay? Because I'm looking for friends on Fortnite, okay? Like, I've been texting people like, hey, you want to play Fortnite? And they're like, I don't do that anymore. I'm like, fuck, okay, I'm late to the game.
I know. I'm trying to jump back on. I was jumping back on with a few IGN friends the other day, too. So Disney's buying Fortnite. I don't know what it's going to be, but they're going to develop a new expansive, open, persistent, and social universe that will interoperate with Fortnite. Wow, what a bunch of garbage words just cobbled together there.
But you know what? I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I love a Disney property.
It's gonna let fans play, watch, shop, and engage with their favorite characters and stories from Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, Avatar, and more.
Some of those characters, like Avatar, they have guns. Like, I can shoot them up in Avatar. I was looking at the Ninja Turtle ones, and I was sitting there thinking, like, imagine a Ninja Turtle with like a machine gun. Like, blasting people.
I mean, you have Batman. I mean, yeah, you have all kinds of weird people. Yeah,
I saw Hulk on one. Like, I kind of wanted that one because I was like, this is kind of fucking dope.
There was a Hulk got one.
Yeah. I think like back whatever like Marvel one previously. I saw it.
Oh yeah. That Marvel one was good. So yeah, it's coming. It'll be here. They had a trailer where it showed like almost like a map, almost like a theme park looking map, where I guess you can go to different portals and different areas to explore. I don't know if they're gonna do like a cozy game. I don't know if it's gonna be like, because they're doing that Lego Fortnite with stuff. So it's a lot of different types of gameplays that you can do, I guess, with Fortnite. It's like becoming its own destination. All right, that's a lot of money. So people are spending money on this. And remember, Marvel's going to be in Fortnite, and some more Marvel video game news. Miguel. Babe.
Yes, finally. Okay. This, I want to say this. This will be the last time I talk about PlayStation's Spider-Man 2. Okay. This news came out earlier this week. We're a little behind, whatever. But I mean, we have been craving the Spider-Man 2 update. Okay.
We've been craving.
Craving it. No, they finally announced, and what it's funny, if you follow Insomniac Games on Instagram, they did like a week or two straight where every day they were posting screenshots from the game.
Yes.
And every comment was like, where the fuck is my update? And people would be like, wow, all these people give a shit about updates. No, I do. Okay, like, where is the update? I really the game was so much fun, I really want to replay it on a new game plus. And you guys
yoked out and just like all these abilities,
fucking, you know what I mean? Ready, yeah. Dude. Yeah. And you guys, finally, last time we're going to talk about it, Spider-Man 2 is getting a new update on March 7th. Okay, just a few weeks away. It's going to come with the coveted new game plus. You're going to get new Spider-Man outfits. You're going to be able to change the time of day in New York City. You're going to be able to change the tendril colors, which was something that I thought was hilarious. Like, I've never said the word tendril so much.
I understand that, though, because it was weird that I was like in a weird suit and then the tendrils were a different color.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, it's like it kind of takes you out a little bit. Yeah. No, dude, I'm not going to overtalk it. I've been holding off replaying this game. They said early 2024 this update would come out. It's coming out March 7th. I guess technically that counts.
It is.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's early enough.
Early enough.
So if you haven't played Spider-Man 2 yet, wait to buy the game March 7th. You'll get it. You'll get the full update. You'll be ready to go.
This won't be the last time, because of course there will be DLCs that we'll be talking about. Of course.
Oh, I mean, there's a few. Right. Those leaked a few weeks back. We already kind of talked about them. But yes, I'm looking forward to playing this game more.
Great. So Spider-Man 2 coming out. One last bit of news I want to talk about. I think this was pretty cool. This is like, you know, insider news stuff, but there's going to be a new sports app, you know, sports. There's no name for it yet. But it's going to be, cause you know, when you watch sports, for the most part, you kind of have to watch it through TV. You know, you have to have a cable account, unless you watch it through Peacock. You can watch, Sunday Night Football through there. Prime Video, you can watch Thursday Night Football, Paramount Plus. But what I'm trying to say is that it's not easily accessible to watch sports as it is with like your other streaming shows. So Fox, Disney, and Warner Brothers Discovery are coming together to create a new sports app. And them all three together is 85% of sports rights.
Wow.
So I'm talking ESPN, ABC, Fox, TNT, TBS, Fox Sports Network, and a bunch I'm not even going to list because there's too many. And it's going to include all kinds of sports, NFL, NBA, WNBA, MLB, NHL, UFC, Formula, golf, FIFA, all of this stuff. They won't make any original content. They're just going to push all this into a sports app. So, you know, there are people who have never bought cable. They have cord cutters, and they're also cord nevers. And so as they try to get people into watching sports, like Fox has been one of the most difficult places to watch sports. Like if you want to watch any of their programming, it's very hard to find them streaming anywhere. So this is a new opportunity. This is kind of like what Hulu did a long time ago. This was a venture between Fox, Disney, Paramount, and NBC. They all came together. It didn't work out that well because now Disney owns mostly Hulu.
Right.
But it was pretty cool. So they're doing that again. And like I said, the only people not involved is NBC, CBS, and YouTube has the Sunday Night Football ticket. Amazon has Prime, has a Thursday Night Football. and Apple TV Plus is Major League Soccer. So, but still, 85% of sports rights under one app is still pretty cool. And the app is said to cost maybe around $20 to $40, and but it will be less than $75 to $80
a month.
So this could be $40 a month for a sports app. But the thing is, if you're a sports lover,
if that's your thing,
if you're a sports lover, people will pay. And also, that's the reason why people are still paying for cable and like TV rights, because they're and cable knows that. They're like, listen, let us keep streaming these sports. People are buying cable just for the sports. So, you know, if you're paying $60 for a cable and you just want your sports, well, then just pay $30 for your sports, you know? I don't know. I thought it was interesting. It's like a whole new thing. It's a whole, everyone's getting into live streaming now. We've had video on demand. Now we're trying to get live streaming on these app programs.
I will say that I'm such a casual sports viewer, but when I do want to watch it, it does. I do feel like I have to jump through hoops to get to whatever I'm trying to. Like, I have to find the right app. I have to pay the right subscription. I have to do the right trial. You know what I mean? You know, I'm lucky. I was kind of excited that the NFL was like, you're going to watch the Super Bowl on fucking Paramount. I have Paramount. Okay.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Let me get it. Okay. Like, I don't want to jump through hoops. So if it's most of the sports in one location, I mean, I did the Disney bundle where they were like, you get ESPN Plus. I thought, great, that's going to help me. I'm going to watch some things. And then every time I hopped on ESPN Plus, it was like, never are you watching the game you want to watch.
Yeah, exactly. Because they only have they only have rights to certain games as well.
Exactly. Exactly. You know? So like, okay, I'll give it another go. I would love like a one-stop shop. It is kind of a steep price point, but if maybe I'm like jumping in here or there.
Sports are allowed to charge more. It's like when you buy, when you want to buy an NFL Sunday ticket, that shit is expensive.
I get Sunday it because, ticket, you know, it draws people in. People want to watch that content and they can charge that, you know, that amount. So I get it.
Yeah. Oh my God. What the fuck? This says it's okay. $80 a month for the NFL Sunday ticket.
Bro. The things that I could do with $80 a month, you know what I mean?
You could buy two meals with that. It's pretty
two Chick-fil-A's in New York.
Yeah.
No, that's exciting. I'm curious to see how it goes. I would love for there to be like a one-stop shop. Cuz I'm such a casual viewer. So, we'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes, and that's the news. Wow, we haven't had a news-heavy episode in such a long time. Hey, bringing it back to the OG days.
Let's go, dude.
But we have one more trailer we're going to talk about before we do our feature discussion of True Detective. And if you want to jump there, you can. Everything is just down in the description where everything happens. All right, Quiet Place Day One trailer. Did you put this in here?
Yeah, I did. Because it was, well, I thought we were recording like the day after it dropped. Right, it's been several days.
It's like this trailer's hot. And now it's
we should have cut it. No, and what sucks is like, I'm not even like a super big Quiet Place fan. Like, I've seen
the first one.
Have
you seen the second one?
No.
I wanted to, but I think it came out during the pandemic. So that's why I was like, we never really got to see it. I mean, I'll watch it, but.
Yeah, anyway. No, it looks good, and I like that the trailer opens and they show the first movie, they show the second movie, and then they cut back into time. So this is the whole like the day it happened when the aliens invaded or whatever.
Dude, I forgot they were aliens when I saw things flying in the sky. I was like, oh, they're aliens. Okay, now I remember.
They're not zombies or whatever. You know what
I thought they were like organic. I don't know what. Honestly, I don't remember what they were, but
I don't really remember. Yeah. Like I said, I put this in here because a few days ago it dropped. I liked the first movie enough. I do kind of want to watch the second one. I'm curious about how this goes. I'm not a big fan of prequels, you know what I mean? Like when you release the content and then you go, oh, but there was, you know, the moment before, I'm like, I don't really care about that.
That's what makes it cool, is not knowing the moment before.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's a pretty good cast. It's Lupita Nyong'o, Jaimin Hunsu. The kid from Stranger Things. Oh, I did want to talk about, I was rewatching the trailer right before we started. It does feel very formulaic for a trailer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like at one point she screams and then they capture that scream and then they do it like a siren throughout. So every time she screams again, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
They cut to like a new beat. And I was like, man, this is kind of like, I've seen this trailer.
Yeah.
And I already am like kind of soft on the content. So I'm like, I'll see it. I add it to Paramount Plus when the third one comes out. I'll watch all three of them at the same time. Okay.
I agree. I have nothing else to add to this. Quiet Place coming out when? When does Quiet Place come out?
Google it.
Like us on YouTube, like us on all of our platforms. We tell you what the news is.
You guys, hard hitting news, okay?
Hard hitting news. Hard hitting breaking news. Let's go on our future discussion. We're going to talk about True Detective Night Country. Again, a little bit late to the game here, but we're going to talk about it anyway. I think I've seen two episodes, maybe three. I don't really remember.
Honestly, I was kind of surprised you brought it up as like a feature discussion. You know what I mean? Like,
why is that?
I don't know. Just, we haven't really talked True Detective in a long time. And I mean, did you are you like caught up on True Detective? Like, have you seen all of the shows?
I've seen one and two. I've never seen the third one.
Okay.
And I think we just had a slow season this month. There was like no movies and or nothing really. Yeah. Like there's Beekeeper, you know, but I didn't want to talk Beekeeper. And actually, let me have a second here. I did watch Beekeeper. Let me tell you something. Don't watch Beekeeper. Okay.
I saw those trailers like after it had been out for a week or two and they were like, you guys, this movie's kind of good.
No,
like,
it's not.
It's no, garbage. It's not. Dude, I saw that first one. I don't want to see it.
I woke up. I was like, okay, I'll just put it on. I ended up doing work in the background because I was already like 30 minutes in. And for me, it's hard for me to like just stop in the middle of a movie. Like I'm only 30 minutes deep. Let me just go all the way through.
Sure.
I'm a bit of a completionist that way. Well, except for True Detective. But anyway, watched Beekeeper, deleted it from my hard drive immediately afterwards. I was like, this is not worth it. This is not worth the space. The 2 gigabytes of space on my hard drive.
I love that you talked about True Detective because like I love True Detective. That obviously the first season is so amazing.
Yeah.
I've seen season two, I've seen season three. Season three I watched kind of late last year for the first time.
I heard it's like better than season two.
Yeah, so here's the trajectory on True Detective. Season one is your number one.
Yeah.
Okay, like that is the one that people really want you to see. The second season, I feel like it's a bad rap. I feel like they just kind of fumbled it a little bit by trying to do too many things all at once.
Also, you know, asking the creator to make a series immediately after the first season. When the first season took years to create.
Like, let it breathe. And
it was the sophomore album effect. You know, the second album is...
I will say, I've only seen the second season one time, but we watched it when it was airing. And I thought it was fun. Like, I never ended an episode being like, this show sucks. I don't ever want to watch it.
Yeah, it was never this sucks. It's like, I was a little dicey, but I enjoy, you know, seeing Rachel on screen. I enjoy seeing Colin.
Well, the cast and everything, like it just felt like, this is like a surefire hit, and then it just kind of wasn't. The third one came out. I love Mahershala Ali. I love Stephen Dorff. I thought both of them were really good. It kind of brought it back to that formula of the two cops, right?
Yeah.
They played with the whole. It felt very reminiscent of the first season, right, where they were like jumping back. Oh, maybe you haven't seen. But they jumped back and forth in time. And so, like, they were young, they were old, the case spanned many years. I thought the third one was pretty good, to be honest.
Yeah.
And right now, and I'll get into it in a second, but right now, I am enjoying the fourth season. I really think the trouble with True Detective is every season, no matter how good or bad it is, everyone is always going, but it's not as good as the first season. You know what I mean? Like, it is really tough to follow how good that season.
Yeah.
And in this one they kind of make a few ties to that first season. We can talk about it here right now. Like Nick Pilato, the creative behind True Detective, he kind of talked some shit about it apparently and was like, oh, I don't like that you tried to tie it into season one. And then the creatives of season four were like, well, we only do that because we love season one so much. Like it was kind of like they were like a heartfelt, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like they were trying to like not for a cash grab.
Fan out.
So
they're like, oh, we liked you. And they're like,
so I do kind of feel that. I do feel like this season, I was telling my wife, is very like female forward, not only in the cast, but in the creatives as well. Yeah. And I think that's kind of like what the anthology is doing, right? Like every season needs something different. And I don't necessarily hate that for this season. I actually have some pretty positive opinions about the season so far. And we'll see how it goes by the end of it. You know what I mean? But so far, I'm kind of really enjoying it.
Yeah, as of this recording, there are 5 episodes out. I've only seen 2 or 3. Honestly, I don't remember.
We're a little behind.
Yeah, we're behind. So we'll just be talking about it. So first thoughts. Yeah, I mean, you're saying that you're enjoying it. I'm also, I would say that after the first episode, I was like, okay, I'll keep watching it. I think after the second episode, it kind of pulled me in even more.
Yeah.
And I think I want to say I did watch the third, but I don't know.
I've only started the third one.
So. Is the third one? Spoiler alert, everybody, if you haven't seen True Detective, and you can fast forward to the end of the episode when we're talking about what we're into. The third one starts off with a flashback, right?
Oh, I honestly, I've been drinking. I don't remember.
Jodie Foster's in this show, right? Honestly,
that's who's in. I barely started the third episode. I've seen the first two a couple times.
Anyway, I'm enjoying the show. I'm not like in love with the show, but I'm enjoying the show. I'm ready to see what it's throwing at me, and I'm excited for it. The True Detective, at least that I remember it. Let's just talk about the supernatural stuff. There was a little bit of that in the first season. I think this season it's leaning a lot more harder into it.
Yeah.
Comparatively than that first season, almost this like cosmic horror type of vibe where people are actually confirmed like, oh yeah, we see ghosts here in Ennis.
Man, when they started saying that, I was like, oh, I see that. Like they're leaning into it. It is like a whole, I love this like Alaska, like 30, 40 days at night or whatever.
Which is a character within itself. That whole Alaska small town, like complete darkness just keeps everybody into this like.
When they first announced this season, and it was like Jodie Foster coming in, and it was like, okay, Jodie Foster could totally do a True Detective season. When they were like, it's Alaska in the like night season or whatever.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, that does kind of feel right for a True Detective season. So like kind of already I'm on board. Lost my train of thought. But yeah, I'm kind of enjoying it so far. Second episode starts with like a moment where I was like, are we doing zombies? You know what I mean?
That was
when I wrote down spiritual, like whatever, like supernatural. Yeah. I was like, wait, whoa, what is happening here? Because it kind of fucked me up.
So I'm gonna take it back a second here just to put a little framework here. So basically the story revolves around this mining company. I think they're called Salal Mining Company, that what they're basically doing, they're trying to break through the permafrost to find certain organisms to help keep people surviving longer, or it could destroy things. But they're stationed in a place with other indigenous Alaskan people. So there's a little bit of a rift between the two. Mm-hmm. We don't know all that at the beginning. All we know is that there is this like mining station full of people that are researching things. Something crazy happens. They go missing. Nobody knows where they are. That's where Jodie Foster comes in. She starts investigating. She's a little bit of, everyone here on the show is kind of not a good person. Everyone's kind of an asshole. And I'm not saying I like that, but I like it. So it's like,
it gives character like a rounded, like, you know, like depth. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like everyone isn't, everyone has some trauma that they're kind of like dealing through, or just asshole ways of dealing with people. Jodie Foster's doing this. And then we have, she plays the character of Liz Danvers. And she's kind of the lead investigator as she's kind of figuring all this out. Meanwhile, there's the side character, Navarro.
Mm-hmm. Trooper Navarro.
She also is there. She's not involved with the main case, but she gets tied into it later because there are actually two cases that are trying to be solved at the same time.
Yeah, parallel.
This case awakens an older case of a missing woman who got stabbed 32 times and lost a tongue. And that tongue appears in this mining facility. And they're like, oh, okay. It begins to develop. Where are these people? Where are the missing people? And then when we get to the end of episode 1 and episode 2, it creates this really kind of horribly cool looking centerpiece of this human popsicle thing where you just have these faces screaming in terror and they're all frozen together and they can't just take them out and investigate their bodies because it's Alaska and it's cold. They have to let it defrost slowly. So you see these images of these people melded together. They transferred over to an ice rink and it's just melting there. And it's just a really strong visual image. And they're trying to find out who killed these people. What were they scared of? They died not from the cold, but because something scared them before the cold.
Man, yeah. And this cuts back to the whole supernatural thing because they definitely sprinkle in. They tell you in the lore of this town, right? Like when the sun goes down for however many days, even the dead don't stay quiet or whatever they say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's already this kind of like supernatural element to the town itself, but they open when you go to the Salal, scientific labs. Yeah. A station, he's having like a seizure and he turns around and he goes, "She's awake." And then they cut to the credits and it's
exactly,
like,
yeah,
bro, who is she? Also, yeah. This is something that when on rewatch, he goes the supplier, the vendor or whatever, he shows up and no one's there, right? But someone's running through the corridors, you know what I mean? And you never see them again. And it's
forgot about that.
Yo, and it's like, who is she? Like, is she someone here? Is she someone out there? Like, this whole like supernatural angle is kind of fun for what they're doing in the season. It's like, okay, we've done all of the cop drama, like maybe let's crank it up a little bit. I don't really know where like the mystery's going right now. I know there's like all these elements and they're trying to kind of tie into season one. The lady who like sees the ghost, and the ghost is supposed to be Matthew McConaughey's dad. You know what I mean? If you remember True Detective season one, he talks about there's like a season where he goes to Alaska to like help out with his family. And it's like, okay, like what's going on?
There's a symbol that is tattooed on someone's forehead and on their chest. And that was a symbol that was seen in True Detective as well, with like the Yellow King. So that's like a kind of like a primordial thing that was there. That's kind of like evil. Also, I just heard about this, but the Salal, they were like, okay, who is paying for this mining organization?
It's like the Tuttles or whatever they're called.
The Tuttles, right. And the Tuttles were the preacher and the mayor and the bad people in season one.
Yeah.
So they're like kind of funding
that whole organization.
Science.
Yeah.
Right. It seems like to me, like, yes, there are these indigenous people who, you know, have spiritual experiences and that they express themselves through that way. And they're having a difficult time because these miners are polluting the water. They're still birth. So there's some controversy between that, too. But I feel like they're using this, like, I don't know, the Tullys. What is it called? The Tuttle? I feel like people are using the supernatural as a way to tackle the vulnerable and then commit these heinous crimes. I think that's kind of what they did in season one as well. So yeah, but it seems like it's ramped up a lot more, all the supernatural stuff here. Like, even it's not just the tales, but just like visually speaking.
Yeah.
Like there's a shot of what's it called? Navara in the army. She's like holding somebody and she just has like half of her face is blown up, and it's just like, that is just,
yeah,
you know,
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if you remember, it reminded me because I rewatched it the first episode last night. They open the show where the indigenous person is like hunting caribou or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as the sun is going down for the last little time of the season, all of these caribou's like, they run off a mountain. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's kind of like, what is happening here? There's this unnatural energy, and I think that's really fun for this season. I also think the performances are great. Like, Jodie Foster is solid.
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel, but like, I
miss her. It's like, oh yeah, this is great. Let's get more Jodie Foster, you know? Yeah.
And then the Trooper Navarro, I'm sorry, I don't know the actor's name. She's solid as well. Like, I love that they're pairing the two of them. I will say, the guy that plays Hank Pryor, he's like the the dad cop.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Here's where I'm kind of like, okay, are we doing this? You know? His character is obviously like hiding something. He's obviously like connected to the world or whatever. He is doing something nefarious. And it just kind of feels very like,
like how on, it is. On the nose.
On the nose. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Like, it's just like, oh, okay. Like, obviously you're a bad guy somehow. And right. So that but is it, kind of cheap to me, but
he's also getting like, what's it called? Catfished hard by this quote unquote Russian wife that he's like,
and I'm like, are you trying to make me feel bad for him? Because I don't, you know what I mean? Like, dude, like, welcome to the internet age. Like, you should know this by now.
There, I think he's, yeah. So he potentially he's hiding this older case of a woman who got, what's it called? She got murdered, right? Anna.
Yeah. Yeah. Like stabbed a bunch. And it's this whole, like, the spiral is in effect there. They cut her tongue off. The tongue shows up later.
Yeah. And Navarro never solved that case. And I think it's just like somebody like him, Hank, right? Is his name Hank Pryor?
Hank. Yeah.
Yeah. He might have, what's it called? Hidden evidence. And even during the investigation, when they're hunting down this killer, because I think there were supposed to be 6 of them frozen and they only found 5 of them. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh, where's this guy? Let's go find him. He brings all these hillbillies and like townsfolk to like hunt this person down.
Yeah, it's like, so why are you making these choices? You know,
he's not a professional cop and he seems like.
But they also take a step back and they go, but Innes is not like, you know what I mean? They go, oh, if any crime that happens here, we need to send it to Anchorage. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like they're trying to tell you that this is not a police force that is like really, you know what I mean? Like funded and ready to go. So he's kind of doing these like behind the scene things and you go, okay, what are you into?
What, my question is, a lot of these characters, as they're not perfect, they're dealing with a lot of things. Danvers has a stepchild, but she also had a kid, that passed away. And there was a car crash scene that seemed to traumatize both of them. So I don't really know what Danvers' motivation is right now in continuing to keep this case and not sending it to Anchorage. But she seems to be obsessive about this case. Navarro seems very clear on what she wants. She's trying to like kind of avenge the death of Anna, and now she can work with Danvers. And then Pryor's son, he's like super into this case when he has a wife who's a nurse, and he's like super dedicated to Danvers. So everybody, not perfect, but everybody has motivation, which is great to see. And yeah, I don't know. I'm enjoying the show. And if I had to sum it up into two things, I would say it's about like revenge and trauma, you know, where you have not only the townsfolk be having revenge to the miners, but it almost seems like these ghosts are having revenge towards the people. Trauma of Danvers losing her child, trauma of Navarro losing her mom. You know, yeah, I don't know. There's just, it's just like, it's all wrapped up into that. I don't know what you think about that, but
no, it's totally dragging me in. Like I'm super invested. I love these angles. I love this Alaska setting at night. I kind of love this like small town, Alaskan town, where their main commodity is whatever they're mining, oil or whatever. And it's, and at the same time that keeps them going, but it's also fucking people up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I just kind of like love that there's like a bigger picture than just this murder.
That, yes. Okay. I think that is what I really like. They're trudging through this, like they have this case, but everyone's trudging through their life dealing with all this shit as like this murder's happening. Like the focal point isn't just the murder.
Yeah.
You know, like there's all
the town is very much a central part what's happening.
Yeah.
And that's what I kind of like about these like true crime stories. It's like it's never just one tiny thing. You know what I mean? It's whatever the bigger picture is. So no, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I don't know how many I don't remember how many episodes True Detective normally does, like 8 or 10.
Yeah.
But I know that the 5th one came out this weekend and I'm ready to go.
Let me see how many are gonna be out. No, it can't just be 5. 6? Oh shit.
No way. 6?
Uh oh. That's very quick, huh?
Don't fuck me around. It's not 6 episodes for the season.
Hold on. How many episodes, True Detective, season 4? 6.
Shut the fuck up. How many were in season 1?
Season 1, oh, I didn't have, it doesn't have that. It says True Detective season 2, 8. True Detective season 3, 8. True Detective season 1 had 8.
6 episodes? Dude, we've already gone through 4. Like, no way. No way it's only 6. Dude, that fucks me up.
There's 6 episodes, yeah. Yeah, so Rome's done
here. Oh, I tell you what, we'll cap it on this. How did you, okay. So you watched season 1, season 2. I thought season 3 was really good. And I don't even have a reference for it, but season 4, the intro is a Billie Eilish song.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
How do you feel? Like, think about True Detective 1, 2, 3 had a very similar vibe. I think Billie Eilish is kind of like, whoa, all right, we're doing what now? You know?
Yeah, I'll tell you this. After the first time I played, I have watched this twice. I've seen three episodes now that I say that. The next 2 times that intro came on, I've skipped it. And I never skip intros.
No!
Yeah.
Dude, I'm the opposite. At first, it was very jarring. But then the more I watched it, I was like, I kind of see why they did it.
But you know what?
It does feel very like, it does feel very like Taylor Swift. You know what I mean? It does feel very like
Taylor
major,
Swift.
Like major name. You know what
it,
I mean?
I think that's the thing, is like the name is so big, it kind of pollutes it a bit. But I was taking a shower and I was thinking to myself, I might watch the intro again, because now that we've gotten here, it is like a little ghosty, it's a little spooky. It's also a little bit, what does it go? Because it's also the same song in the Madam Web trailer, right?
No fucking way.
Isn't it?
God damn it.
Hold on.
I hope not. I think it fits the vibe. It is a little surprising just because it is so mainstream.
Yeah. But it also has a song like, what do you want from me? Why do you run from me? What are you wondering? What do you know? Like, I think those themes actually, funny enough, does align with.
It works. Yeah.
Because they talk about the ghosts. Like, sometimes the ghosts want to help you. Sometimes the ghosts want to show you.
Yeah.
Sometimes the ghosts want you to come with them. And you know. And that's, we saw that one scene of the guy in the hospital who, like, they had to amputate his leg and his arm.
Oh, I haven't been there yet. Stop. I'm getting to it, okay?
Okay, sorry.
I'm so behind. I get it.
I guess that must have been the 3rd episode then. I did see 3 episodes. Well, I didn't say anything much. You knew there was a guy.
I knew it was coming because they already said that was happening.
Okay. Like, I didn't say much then. Yeah. Okay, fine. But you know, the lyrics, you know, it works. What do you want from me? Why aren't you scared of me? What do you care for me? All these things. Where do we go?
Where do we go? Like, after we're buried, where do we go? I think that's very interesting. So I think it works. I'm interested to see the rest of the season, all fucking 6 episodes, apparently. I've loved True Detective. Even if you could point to any season and say this one's worse than the others, I've kind of enjoyed all of them every time I watch. So I'm looking forward to the end.
I'm trying to see when the 6th one. What's today? Oh, my calendar is still on January. That's messed up. What is today? The 10th?
Yeah.
Okay, the 6th one comes out on the 18th. That can't be right. Is that true? Oh, I think what happened was, did they release the 5th one early because of the Super Bowl?
Oh, maybe that's what's happening. We were having a conversation. Like, okay. Because they were like, you don't want to on the same night.
No one's going to be watching it, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got to go watch it right now.
Maybe on the 21st. We're already this far in. We'll probably do like a end of season discussion, and we can bring Steven in, our friend Steven.
Yeah.
We can talk about True Detective. We'll get Ed to watch True Detective. And I had one more thing I was going to say about True Detective, but I don't remember. Oh, well. Wasn't important. All right. Check it out on HBO, on a Max, the place to watch. Is that what is there saying?
The place to delete.
Okay. Let's go into what we're into. Miguel, you were talking about Jurassic Park earlier.
Yeah. So the only reason, like I said, we were talking about Jurassic World 6 or whatever they're coming out with. So I went back and I watched Jurassic Park 3, which at the time when it came out, people were saying, this is the worst Jurassic Park movie I've ever seen. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, at the time it was the third one. So it makes, I mean, yeah, yeah. I get
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I will say this is very much like the Chili's of the franchise. You know what okay, I mean? Like, okay, it's yeah. like, it just, it gives you what you want, but it's not fine dining. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I did rewatch it. There was a couple moments that I was like, yeah, okay. But I only brought it up because we talked about Jurassic Park earlier this in the episode. It's pretty good. They do a good job about bringing in some of the past characters. I think there's some kind of exciting elements. The birdcage scene, right, with the pterodactyls. Obviously, the Spinosaurus Rex. This was, to me, this is where the franchise was like, we're going to introduce a new dinosaur every movie. And I didn't think that was necessary. Because again,
let's not genetically create new dinosaurs.
I don't need that new one every single time. Because
also, can I just say that new one, the indomitable one, whatever it was called, Indominus Max?
Yeah.
It basically looks like a fucking T-Rex, okay? There's no, it doesn't look cool.
Yeah, like I understand, like, something Kristen and I have talked about a lot is how that first one really tried to be kind of like tongue in cheek and campy and self-referential or
but
whatever.
But still scary. You know, think about like that kitchen scene. Think about when you first see the T-Rex and it's like the one, like those are scary scenes, you know?
Yeah. No, in the original one, yes, yeah. Absolutely. And the third one was just kind of like popcorn flick.
Right.
But I was kind of thinking about it. I saw that one in theaters. I do remember there's a line very early on when they're flying into the island for the first time. And Alan is like, oh, like I'm fucking back or whatever he says. And I was in my movie theater seat being like, I'm fucking back. Like, let's go. You know what I mean? Yeah. I was like, let's go. Because the music was playing, right? Like the mountains were in the background. Yeah, yeah, I was like, dude, I'm kind of into this. But then right after it was like, Alan, you know what I mean?
That,
like,
oh yeah. Like, I forgot about that. What was that? Why did they do that?
Dude, it was like, why are we making these choices?
You know, Alan, I mean? Yeah.
I was also, as I was watching it, I was kind of torn because it was like, the whole premise is the kid gets lost on the island and the parents have to go rescue him. And I never felt that it was at stakes other than kind of the beginning of the movie, right, when they like convince Alan Grant to go to the island. There's never really the stakes there. Like I just never felt like they truly were losing their son on this island. He was there for like 8-9 weeks, you know what I mean? If my son was gone for 8 or 9 weeks on a dinosaur island, I would be like an absolute fucking mess the first time I see him, you know what I mean? No, it's not a great movie, but it is fun, and it's definitely a lot more fun in retrospect. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When you're when you don't have like high expectations for it, it's a lot more fun.
I will say
to the first one. Well, compared to Jurassic World.
Come on.
Do you like Jurassic World more than the third one?
I would probably, I hate to say this, I do enjoy Jurassic World. The first movie.
It's got better action sets, like more better action.
Yeah, sequences. This one, the Jurassic Park 3 feels very much like we're doing another one.
Yeah.
And Jurassic World was like, we're going to try to do another. You know what I mean? So I think I like Jurassic World 1 a little bit more than Jurassic Park 3, but I definitely don't think Jurassic Park 3 is lower than those other Jurassic. Have you seen this movie?
Yeah, I have. And they also introduced this new mechanic, like talking like a game, where it has the bone of a velociraptor throat.
Okay,
and
go, so.
And then the velociraptors are like, we'll follow you, you know?
There were a couple of moments. It's not just that one. That's the one that gets ripped up a bunch. But there was like in the middle of the movie, they go to like the engine lab, which is from the second movie as well. And at one point they get away and Alan Grant turns back and the velociraptor is like, you know, caw-cawing in the sky. And he's like, oh, they're fucking communicating. And I was like, even the first time I saw that movie as a 13-year-old, I was like, I mean, yeah, of course they communicate. Like, why is this?
Yeah.
Like, why is this some revelatory moment? Like, whales do this shit. You know what I mean?
Every
like,
animal communicates with each
dogs,
other.
Like, yeah. Like, of course they're communicating. And I always thought that was, like, so dumb. But you know what I mean? For what it was, it is kind of fun. There are some really great moments.
There's also like these like villainous, like bad guys who like take advantage of the vulnerable parents to go to the island to do something. Is that what happens or no? Am I thinking about
it's
on the island and then get killed off? Like they're not like really good people.
They're like mercenaries and mercenaries to like kill the dinosaurs to get their son back. This is like if you compare it to Jurassic World, Vincent D'Onofrio is kind of like the guy that's coming in like we should fund this thing, but then he's got like this like nefarious whatever. Yeah. I don't feel that vibe in this Jurassic Park 3.
Also, was he in the other Jurassic World movies, Vincent D'Onofrio, or did
No, he died. No, he dies. He dies in that first one.
Okay.
Yeah. No, the last thing I'll say about this is it's very nostalgic. So when DVDs came out, I begged my parents to get a DVD player and the Christmas
for this movie,
but the Christmas that DVDs came out, my mom got us a DVD player and she got us a handful of DVDs and Jurassic Park 3 was the one of them. And I was like, let's fucking go.
Yeah.
Alan. No, dude, this is not a good movie. And we'll get to it in a second. I'll jump to you next. But in a second, I'm about to talk about a lot of things that are not that good. Okay. But I watched them.
You know, what did I watch? I didn't put anything on my list here because I don't really know what I watched because I was very busy. And did I do anything? Did I watch anything? Because I finished The Last of Us. No, I don't think I really got into anything. I keep playing Marvel Snap, you know?
Baby.
You know what? Let's talk about this. Duolingo. So, you know, I do Duolingo for like, you know, try to keep up with my Spanish. I learned Spanish as a baby. And then when I went to American school, I forgot it. So now I can speak, but I'm not fluent, like perfectly fluent, you know?
Okay.
So me and Sierra, we do Duolingo. And I just realized that on Duolingo, they now have this leaderboard or they've had it. I just noticed it. A leaderboard situation. And, I'm obsessed with getting top
higher.
Five. Yeah, higher.
Because
if you hit high in your league, you move up to the next league. Okay. Ooh. So there's like a lot of leagues. Let me count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I think 9 leagues, 10 maybe in total. I've climbed my way up to the 9th league and I have 1 day left that I finally reached the final league. I'll reach the Diamond League. So I've been putting in hours in my Duolingo, cracking the code, trying to get more XP. I don't know. Listen, I'm trying to learn Spanish. Could I speak Spanish fluently still? Probably not, but I can get by, you know?
No, shout out to Luis, because I remember on your bachelor party, we got an Uber where I booked the Uber and my name is Miguel. So he was a Spanish speaker. So he was like, he started talking to me in Spanish and I was like, bro, we can't do this. Like, yeah. I'm sorry, my bad. And he was telling someone else, like, move your seat forward or back or whatever. And you were in like the very back of the car being like, he's telling you to move the seat forward. And I remember in that moment being like, damn, Luis speaks a lot more Spanish than me. Okay. Like, I was so proud of you in that moment.
Thank you. I understand. I understand a good amount. It's like understand, speak, and then writing, you know?
Dude, I get it.
So Duolingo. Yeah. If you want to learn a language, fine. It's a good time, you know? Sure. How many, let's see. I can tell you how many days I have a streak on. That's
let's
fine.
Go. Let's go.
Let's see. I've had 280 days streak.
Are you going to do it like right after this podcast as well?
No, I already did. I already did today.
Oh, for the day. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
One, Sean, you know Sean Evans? He is one of the groomsmen. He also does Duolingo. We're Duolingo friends. So,
is he better than you?
He's in the Diamond League, yes.
All right. We'll have to talk about it.
But listen, not an ad. Duolingo, you can actually, like if you want to practice math, you can also go here. I think that's good because I feel like I'm always counting on my fingers and using my calculator. It's like, let me try to get back into my math game. You can also learn music. You can learn chords. You can practice chords. And then, of course, you can learn different languages. You can also learn fictional languages like High Valyrian
from Game of Thrones. Fuck up.
You can learn Klingon and a bunch of other stuff. So if you want to get ready for Game of Thrones.
Babies, if you're listening, please just listen, like learn a real language first. Okay. Like put it on your resume. No one is going to hire you on some Klingon shit. Okay. Like.
If you go to, yeah, so Duolingo, not sponsored, but it is what I've been into, I guess. Duolingo, yeah, learn a language. And it takes like a few minutes, like two or three minutes, and then that counts as your lesson of the day. If you want to learn more, you can, but, you know, Duolingo.
Boom.
All right. What
else do you That's do? It. Now, I'll save mine for another episode because I've got more things I want to talk about. Let's wrap it up, dude. What an episode this has been. Okay.
It's been good, right?
It's you and me, dude. Like Ed's on vacation, but we're making it happen.
This is good. We half-assed our way into reviewing True Detective. That's okay. We're running on vibes here.
Listen, by the season finale, I'll be ready to go. Okay?
We're gonna have hot takes, we're gonna have in-depth analysis. You know what I mean? And a short episode. Look at that. Not
You're
too bad.
Welcome, everyone. Okay.
All right, everybody. Tune in next week. We're going to talk about Super Bowl commercials and talk about some more stuff. Talk about news. Talk about what we're into. But until then, it's been me, Luis Gonzalez. And with me's been
Miguel Sanchez.
And until next time, later, Gators. Is that your child?
Yeah.